your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In this segment, we are going to continue to chat about the gold sectors. We are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TFMetalsReport.com. So, Craig, it's been a wild ride this week for gold investors because Monday and even late night Sunday, gold went through that flash crash, dropped the whole way down to about that 1670 to 1680 level. And throughout the week, it has taken back pretty much all of those losses. So we're pretty much closing this week at a very similar level to where we were a week prior to. And that is still considering all that negativity, especially at the start of the week, as we saw just everything plummeting in terms of commodities. Now at the end of the week, again, we're at this 1775 level. We're still in this downtrend that gold has been in ever since August. But what do you take away from that action this week and the quick reversal of what was about $100 loss in gold?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it was painful to watch, shocking to see. But those things happen in a volatile futures market. The fun thing about it, though, and what is advantageous to it now, 5 days later, is that it has given us some very clear things to watch going forward. That we bounced from 1680 in the December front month futures contract. That level was already a double bottom at the previous lows back in March, early March and late March. It came down to 1680 and bounced twice from there. So then we have this washout event Sunday night, which, as you said, took us down $80 in a matter of minutes. And we bounced from that very same area. And now the chart, which, you know, many generalists and hedge funds and people look at very closely to try to figure out, you know, discern trend or trend changes, the chart is very clear. That 1680 to 1700 level appears to be very solid support. So if we ever really take that out convincingly, well, we were in a heap of trouble. However, on the upside, where institutional investors and hedge funds and just regular people like you and I, Corey, have been waiting for this to turn because the macroeconomic signals are so strong, like sharply negative real interest rates and inflation soaring, and the producer price index this week annualizing over 12%. And we've been waiting for gold to turn, kind of flustered and bewildered as to why it kept trending lower. Well, now, after this washout low, this double bottom on the chart, price starts moving higher and continues higher from here. And it is now up almost 1% on the week after that terrible beating it took. Starts moving above that 1920 level, but before that, even 1840, that's going to get a lot of people's attention. And it begins to build on itself in kind of a virtuous cycle, and money starts coming in, you know, kind of fear of missing out. And okay, finally, it's going to move to catch up with these sharply negative real interest rates and everything else. So this was a big happening this week, what happened. And you can trace it back to some legitimate things. Even on Friday, we got a report, the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence or Consumer Sentiment Index crashed because of these inflation expectations, the lowest level since April 2020. In the height of the COVID shutdowns. That tells you how fragile the U.S. economy is in the notion of, you know, can Powell start to withdraw the punch bowl and taper QE or not? Well, maybe not. And that's why the bond market rallied Friday. That's why the dollar sold off sharply. And that's why the metals fully recovered those Sunday losses. And so now we enter a really interesting period here. Chairman Powell is going to speak at the Jackson Hole meeting of the Fed in 2 weeks. What he says there and how that's put into practice, the September FOMC, how then the markets respond to it is going to set the tone for the remainder of the year. And there's still a reasonably good chance that gold can recover all of its losses so far this year and maybe even post a positive percentage gain by the time it's all said and done.
Well, Craig, there's a lot of interesting threads there. One of the questions I had was, do you think Jackson Hole will play into it? Sometimes we'll see the metal sell down before the Fed speaks.
Yep.
But then afterwards, we'll see that whipsaw of, you know, analyzing every other word and trying to figure out what, you know, what are the algorithms going to key off of. Do you think that there's going to be enough momentum out of that to break above that ceiling that's kind of around that 1830, 1840 area that you mentioned? Because until gold can get decisively going in a positive direction, there may not be enough momentum to sustain a move up to the 1920, the 1960, and then, you know, the higher levels at 2089. So what do you think ultimately will be the catalyst that will get things going in that positive direction. Because on the other side of this fence is, if we do test that 1670 level, 1680 level again, you know, if it if something tests something two, three, and then four times, the concern would be that it would break to the downside and that would spell trouble. So what will get the positive momentum going medium term, where there's some trend that develops to the upside?
Yeah, Shad, you bring in an important point. This is not something where gold's going back to 1920 by next week, right? So this takes a while. You know, the moves up always move in a stair step pattern, kind of like going upstairs, as opposed to these moves down like Sunday that look like you're taking the elevator down. It'll be very interesting to see how things respond to Powell. You know, when this thing really got sideways on us last week, or the week before this last week, I should say, back on Wednesday the 4th, was when Vice Chair Clarita came out and said, yeah, you know, we're probably going to announce a taper here soon. And that's when, I mean, gold was $1,830 then and crashed basically $150 by the time we got, you know, done with the Sunday evening shenanigans. And so that now expectation that this is coming is getting cooked in, which makes me wonder, with the amount of lead time we've had, if it isn't, in fact, kind of a sell the rumor, buy the news type of thing, that all the bad news is now baked in. And conversely, a buy the rumor, sell the news in the U.S. dollar. And that's, you know, so many algorithms that trade these futures contracts follow the dollar really, really closely, and, you know, and they're tick per tick. And the dollar, if you look closely as we wrap up the week, really had a tough day on Friday. And on the daily chart, it looks like it may have peaked as well, with a double top just above 93, almost a precise double top at 93.20 on the dollar index. So if the dollar, you know, gets into this kind of buy the rumor, sell the news thing with Jackson Hole, then maybe gold has the opposite. Again, as you said, the first key level was that thing where we were banging up against now 10, 12 days ago. There's a convergence there of gold's moving averages, the 50-day and the 200-day, up there around 1830 or so. You get above those and make new highs relative to where we were 2 weeks ago, and then that's your next step forward. So that's how this will play out. And again, it's mainly going to be, though, a function of what Powell actually says. You know, everybody thought this last FOMC meeting at the end of July was going to give some details, and Powell, all he did was really mumble and stumble his way trying to define what transitory is and what further economic progress means and all that kind of stuff. You know, if he rolls into Jackson Hole and gives a real, real slow crawl toward, you know, taper and that sort of thing, yeah, we could get a pretty significant reaction. But in the meantime, it's just nice to have some technical baselines now that are really, really clear and easy to see. And so we know what to watch going forward.
We absolutely do. And you know what? Gold still has a lot of work to do on the upside. And one thing to consider, too, is you look at that daily chart. Gold is still below a lot of the key moving averages, the 50-day, the 200-day. Those are trending lower, so we should get some sort of a cross as long as gold continues a little bit of a move higher in the next few days. So let's see how that all reacts. One thing to also take away from this last week, though, is that GDXJ, so the gold stock ETFs, those are ending the week lower. GDX is down 1.5%. GDXJ is down just short of 2%. Take away anything from the inability of the stocks to rebound into positive territory this week?
You know, I give everybody listening to us a homework assignment. Please go to a website where you can plot a couple of things together. The one I use a lot of time is just simply barchart.com. It's free, so anybody can do this. And you can plot together the GDX, which is a major producing senior gold miner index, and plot that with COMEX silver futures, not just over the last month or 6 months, but the last year, 5 years, and 10 years. And you'll see clearly the impact that all of this computer-driven trading has had on the markets. And what I mean by that is, I mean, I think most folks know that there's no human beings really trading stocks anymore. There are some. But, you know, when you go to CNBC shows the New York Stock Exchange floor, what used to be a bustle of human activity as recently as a decade ago, there's nobody there. It's a ghost town. Everything's done by computer. In fact, 80 to 90% of the daily volume on the New York Stock Exchange is just high-frequency trading computers. And they kind of swap positions back and forth, trying to nick each other for fractions of a penny. Well, with that kind of dominance of computer trading, you get some crazy correlations. And that's the correlation I'm talking about. Again, pull up a 10-year chart, however long you want to go back, plotting silver futures with the GDX gold miners. That correlation is probably 95%. Makes no sense, but it's the world that we live in. So why are the shares down 1.5% this week? Because silver has not recovered. Gold has bounced back and is green on the week. But silver never recovered, never made it back to green. So I don't want to overly simplify it or make it, you know, make it seem like it's just this basic in the year 2021. But if you want the shares to go up, I guess you need silver to go up. Now, I'm bullish on silver. I think silver is going to rush to catch up once all this news sorts itself out over the next several weeks or a couple of months. But for now, that's what explains the problem with the mining shares to me. You just look at the chart.
It's a great point, Craig, because typically silver and the shares will underperform, then they will play catch up and they'll outperform. And generally, silver will get dragged along with gold on the major direction, although it does have that industrial component. But a lot of times the shares and silver trade together, and it's interesting how correlated they all are because of the high frequency trading now. My question would be, what would change the algos? And my question is geared around inflation, because right now most people still believe the Fed's narrative that it is transitory. Most of the supply chain issues that we're going to get resolved, and that once we get past this base effect, things are going to smooth out. But if people start realizing that inflation is here to stay, if that ends up being what plays out over time, and if rates and the Fed are behind the curve, we still have negative real rates.
Yep.
Do you think there's a point where people will change? Because the algos are keyed in by humans. So is there a point where the humans behind the machines finally say, hey, we're going to have to account for inflation. We're going to have to account for these negative real rates. We're going to have to account for the fact that if they have to start hiking rates, usually that signals a rise in gold when they start hiking.
Yeah, I don't think the algos change. I don't think they get reprogrammed because it's been there now for, you know, it's the correlation is so obvious. But I just think more human being, carbon-based traders actually start getting involved and buying. You know, we've talked for years about, you know, one half of 1% of all global assets are dedicated to the precious metals and the mining shares. You know, if that just goes to 1% or 1.5%, the thing kind of can take on a life of its own and overwhelm this computer influence every day. Right now, there's just no volume. There's no interest. And so the computers run the day. And a lot of times you'll see that in the futures even, you know, where it's just going tick for tick. The dollar upticks one, you know, a penny, and gold ticks down 50 cents. I mean, it's till we get more human beings actively interested and involved, the computers will continue to control things. But here's the thing, and you're absolutely right, Shed. It is the market, if you will, broadly based, believes this transitory stuff. The line I keep reminding people of is Hemingway's line about how did you go broke? Well, slowly and then all at once. And I think what's going to happen here in the weeks and months ahead is the recognition that transitory, that fails slowly and then all at once. And where we talk about, we probably move up in stages because that's typically how things go. I'll remind everybody listening that coming out of, you know, COVID and the QE programs and the alphabet soup of Fed facilities that came out in March of 2020, gold rushed forward. And then spent about 100 days from April into late June, early July, trading in a range between 1680 and 1780, basically where we are now. But then once it broke out of that range, over the course of just 8 weeks, it went from 1780 to 2080. So it can move quickly when everybody kind of moves at once. And silver too. Silver couldn't get above 18 or 19 for 6 or 7 years. And then suddenly in like 3 weeks, it went from 19 to 29. So it is possible for this recognition to hit all at once. And if I'm right about this non-transitory thing, if I'm right about real rates staying sharply negative, because that's actually where the Fed wants them, that recognition will come again soon. And you just don't want to be, standing in the station when the train pulls out. Let's put it that way.
All right, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there. Look, it was a nice rebound for gold, but fact of the matter is there's still a lot of work for gold to do to turn bullish, really, and to draw more investors in. Some people can try to get in early, but in all fairness, too, it's been a very tough game trying to trade gold from the long side this year. You've had a couple good months and more bad months, or at least more negative months. So who knows? Maybe we're getting a change in direction as we move out of summer, but we'll just need to see where next week goes and really the rest of this month into the fall. Craig, great chatting with you as always, buddy. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great talking to you guys. You do the same.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.